It's Saturday, May 8th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Alright, it's the Everything Digital Podcast, and Sunday, May 8th, that means it's been about a week and a day or two since the last podcast, which was, of course, the Tiger Release Cast, and since then, I have gotten my copy of Tiger and have had some time to try it out a bit and discover some of the intricacies of it, and even make my own widgets. So today I'm not really going to do a normal format show today. I don't have any news headlines for you. I do have some non-RIAA music for you, but I thought I would just devote today to Tiger. Going through the features of Tiger, my impressions of Tiger, the bugs that I've had with Tiger, and there were a few, and troublesome ones at that. And just my general experience with Tiger. I am a little sick today, as I mentioned on the website, so you may think I sound stuffed up right now. And it's a cold that I may have for another week or two. It's a pretty bad one, so hopefully within the next few podcasts I'll get it cleared up and my voice will be free again, but for now, somewhat congested, and I have a rudimentary cough button set up, so if I know I'm about to go into a coughing fit, I'll go ahead and click the cough button, spare you of that. But let's go right ahead into these Tiger features. So I've got a couple ones lined up, and I'm just going to talk about the major ones first, Spotlight and Dashboard, and then go to some non-RIAA music and come back, and then I got a couple more features to talk about. Alright, so starting with Spotlight. Spotlight is more than I ever thought it would be. I'm not one to get very excited about search technologies. You know, they're great, but they're more the kind of thing that sort of is in the background, you know, and you use it when you need to use it. It's not, one of those, you know, extremely prominent features. It's just there and it helps. Spotlight really changes this. Basically, when you go into Tiger, and probably a lot of you already are, although I know some of you aren't yet. And I know Amazon has definitely been a little behind in getting some of the copies out there. I just got mine on, when was it? Just got mine Thursday. And so what you'll notice is for the first, a lot of people say hour. Mine took a little longer. Mine took about an hour and a half to 2 hours. But of course, I have an older computer. Spotlight will just index your system. It will there will be a little pulsating icon within the magnifying glass of Spotlight in the upper right-hand corner, and it will, if you click Spotlight, it'll say Spotlight is unavailable right now, please try again later, Spotlight is indexing, and then it'll give you a time estimate until it's done. Only has to do this once. It will actually do it again whenever you insert an external drive. It'll start trying to index that drive and presumably build up like an index of every drive you've ever put into the computer. I'm sure you can delete them if you know you're trying to conserve hard drive space, but I don't actually think it takes up that much space, or at least I haven't noticed a huge difference in the amount of space I have free. However, if you do plug in an external drive, Spotlight is still going to let you search, unlike this first hour where it's just going to be completely disabled, or actually hour to 2 hours, completely disabled. You can't search, just gives you a time estimate. But it's worth it, because after this hour, or 2 hours, once it indexes your system, it's going to give you almost instantaneous searching of everything. And, I mean, they say everything. It really is everything. Documents pop up in this that I never even knew existed, that documents pop up that I haven't seen or dealt with in, you know, years. And yet, you know, they're there and they're relevant. Oh, cough button. I'm about to cough here. I think I'll have to use the pause button next, because that does leave a little blank space there. So, anyway, it searches everything. If you have iChat archiving your instant messages, it will search all of those. It'll go back, you know, you probably have hundreds, if not thousands, of those saved. It's going to go back through all of them and find the ones that have the word you're searching for in the conversation. So, if you wanted to, you know, if you remember someone saying something about, you know, some new product, you could just type that product into Spotlight and, you know, look under the documents section. You could even specify, you know, the type being an iChat IM, and under the documents, you'd have all those iChat IMs that, you know, related to whatever you're searching for. So, just wonderful. The other thing that I found very useful is macOS 10 doesn't really, and a lot of people have complained about this, doesn't really give you a whole lot of options on opening applications easily and quickly. So, that means basically you've got your dock and your desktop. Other than that, there isn't a whole lot that you can do to, besides third-party programs, that you can do to really have, you know, the applications you want, and maybe don't use quite as much as the ones in your dock, but still want to open readily. There used to be the Apple menu for that, but that doesn't have that functionality anymore. But Spotlight really changes this, because I find myself, there's basically two applications that this is true for, and there's more that on a lesser scale, but really the applications that fit into this category best for me are Text Edit and Activity Monitor. So, really, when I'm not going to have Text Edit in my dock. If I'm going to word process something, it's going to be in Microsoft Word. If I'm going to edit an HTML document, it's going to be in Dreamweaver. But there's those odd jobs that, you know, you just need a plain text editor for. So for that, I pop open Spotlight, just and I'll actually do this right now, type in text edit, and it's going to be a little slow because I am currently running GarageBand here and recording. And then it starts searching. And it is a little slow right now, but it comes up with all these documents and has one category for applications. It finds, for me, all the applications that are named TextEdit, and of course there's really only one. And then actually, TextEdit is also the top hit here, which is just the most popular, most relevant item. I'm not really sure how that's determined. And it's right there. I can double-click it right in this menu, and it opens. So no hunting around in my applications folder, you know, messing with organizing all the files in there so that I can get to applications readily by double-clicking the hard drive or clicking the Finder icon on the dock. Don't have to do that anymore. Just click Spotlight and type in the application I'm looking for. Now, I do have to still type it in, but of course, you can just type in part of it, and it will probably still come up with the same results. So, some functionality to Spotlight that maybe isn't originally, before you have the operating system, what you'd think would be there. You'd think, well, you know, maybe if I was looking for a Word document, you know, you'd use Spotlight. But really, there's a whole lot more that you can use it for, because it searches all these different kinds of documents, including applications. So really an interesting tool there, and has some great features. I love the, if you search for something that, if you search for some keywords, and it brings back pictures, you can click a little icon, and it starts doing a slideshow of all those pictures. Tiger seems to be very oriented towards slideshows. You can... I'm not on the cough button here. There's a ton of different places, even places that you wouldn't even expect, that let you do slideshows. You can right-click in the Finder and tell it to start doing a slideshow. Really interesting. And nice features. Nice little touches here and there. And in Spotlight and throughout the whole operating system. Alright, so moving on. Dashboard. This is... I think this really makes Tiger what it is. Dashboard is... It's the icon of Tiger. It's amazing. A lot of people have assigned it to F8, but I put it on F12 since I don't have... if you've got a laptop, then the eject key is going to be on F12, so a lot of people put it on F8 instead. But I press F12, and it's probably going to be a little slow now, especially with GarageBand there. And immediately... Alright, so I just tried to do it, but GarageBand apparently can't handle it when Dashboard comes down. I've got a 450 megahertz G4 with a 16 megabytes graphic card, so really not used to this kind of multitasking. But basically, I hit F12, and through this invisible layer come down all these widgets. And so these widgets can be anything, basically. They're just a compilation of HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. There are two great things about that. One is pretty much anyone who has a basic understanding of coding for the web knows how to create a widget. Now, the other great thing is anything that you could do on the web can be done in a widget. So you've got widgets that monitor traffic conditions, you've got widgets that show weather maps, you've got widgets that search Wikipedia and show all the images, all the content, all the links, everything right there on the dashboard. And so I'm going to go ahead and... say the widgets that I have. It's kind of a personal preference, the widgets. And I could see people sharing, and comparing lists of which widgets they have, similar to a music library or something like that. And so the widgets that I use, and I'm going to try to bring Dashboard down here. I really hope it works this time. Yeah, looks like it's working. Okay, so I've got all my widgets up. Now, the ones I'm using right now are Calculator, nice little widget for, general use. Not real exciting. The Weather widget, which is very well done. It's got the city, the sun or moon icon with the current weather conditions in a little graphic there. And the current temperature. Then you click on it, you get the 10-day forecast, the highs and lows, and all the little icons indicating the weather for those days. So nice little widget. Another widget that I'm using, and this is not one of the widgets that comes pre-installed or available. You've got to download this from Apple's widget download site, which is, I believe it. Apple.com Oh, it's a, if you go to apple.com, click on macOS 10 and downloads, you'll find all the widgets there. And so this widget is called TV Tracker, and it will automatically refresh every 4 hours or so and download the latest TV listings in my area. And it asked me for my television provider, and I was able to edit the channels that it received, and all this, you know, great specific configurability to really make it specific to you. And then right there is all my channels and what they've got on right now, an interactive TV guide, and for the next 4 hours, so I can see what's going on TV right now, right there on my dashboard. You know, something that normally I would have to, you know, go searching on Google for some sort of TV guide and then try and find one locally. Big mess. much better to just have it right there. I'm also using the Phone Book, which is a fairly simple app that comes pre-installed and just searches a database. I think it's, is it MapQuest database? I'm not sure. Searches a database, gives you businesses in your area with the keywords you type in, and will give you a map to them, directions to them. Also, I'm using Dictionary and Thesaurus, actually. Dictionary, Thesaurus, pretty simple app. Now, another interesting one that I'm using, and actually, I don't think I'm going to have this installed for long because it's taking up precious screen space on the dashboard, is the Jiwire Wi-Fi hotspot locator. And this is just a little widget that you type in your location, and it shows you Wi-Fi hotspots in your area. Handy little widget, but really something you would only use, you know, once in a while, not something you'd have there constantly. And I've got it to only show free hotspots, and I see that there are two in my area. Next is the clock, pretty simple. And after that is, well, something I'll talk about a little later, a widget of my own creation. And then there's Floris, which is a Gmail notifier. And again, all these widgets are available at apple.com if you click on Mac OS X and then downloads. Also, the stock tracker. This one comes pre-installed. I've customized it a bit to show my stocks. Ooh, and it just updated. Google is going down. Minus 12 cents right now. Also, I've got the address book widget, which is very nice, having my whole address book right there. The translator widget, pretty simple app, like Babelfish from AltaVista or Google Translator, but right there on your dashboard. Also, the last one is Yahoo Local Traffic, which is a nice little widget that will get my local traffic conditions and show me any accidents or traffic hazards in the area, and continuously update, gives me the latest conditions, and whenever one comes up, I can click on it, get a little map of the area, shows, you know, which routes are okay, which routes have bad traffic conditions. So handy little widget there. Now, actually, I should say, I put up a screenshot of all my widgets on Flickr. So if you want to go to flickr.com/photos/everythingdigital, should be one of the top photos there. So I mentioned during the tour of my widgets that there was one that I created myself. And actually, I've created two widgets since I got Tiger. One of them is the Everything Digital widget, which is available at everythingdigital.org. And that is a very simple little widget that basically it's an oval orange icon that has Everything Digital on it. And if you click it, it brings you to the everythingdigital.org website. So that was my first widget. Not extremely impressive, but still, It's a widget. And the other widget that I have created since I got Tiger is the Rock and Roll Geek Show Studio Cam widget. I did this for Michael Butler over at rockandrollgeek.com and the Rock and Roll Geek Show podcast. I had seen similar webcam widgets on the internet and decided to try and make my own since I thought it'd be a fairly simple thing to make since it's basically just retrieving an image file and then refreshing that. So I made this one from scratch. The Everything Digital one, I used sort of a template that's available in samples in the Xcode 2 tools library. But for this one, I did it from scratch. So I created the background in Adobe Illustrator, and the icon I used the Rock and Roll Geek Show logo, and the icon is the little thing that, by the way, that is in the palette on the bottom where you drag widgets from to put them on the dashboard. So I constructed this widget, took a little debugging and some permission correcting. It needs a special entry in the plist file to access an internet resource. And this is all available. I put up a link in the show notes to the Making Your Own Widgets Dashboard Programming Guide on the Apple website, so you can check that out and learn how to create your own widgets. It's got all these specifications there, some examples, and some general rules to go by when creating your widget. So, that's the dashboard, pretty much. Got some non-RIA music for you here. This is from, Mike Conley Band. This is Shallow on the Everything Digital Podcast. You're simply too dumb for me to do unto others, they say. Reach deep in your heart, you'll see. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm not sure that you'll follow. The surface, it has no depth now. It must be that you're shallow. Restaurants, you think that you know fine food. I guess I'm the pot pie kind of guy. To me, they taste just as good. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm not sure that you'll follow. The surface, it has no depth now. You think that you're hungry. They say you'd be nice to include me. And that is Shallow from the Mike Conley Band. So, moving on in the Tiger features, and we're at about 26 and a half minutes now, so these will probably go fairly quickly. Not as big, of course, as the Dashboard and Spotlight, but still fairly major features. First one is Safari RSS. Now, when I first heard about Safari RSS, I thought, you know, this is great. Finally catching up to Firefox, because I know they've had RSS reading capabilities for quite a while. There's a lot of, you know, other visual and user interface improvements to Safari as well that came with this, and I'll talk about those in a second. But the RSS functionality is... Not quite living up to my expectations. It's getting late. When you see a page that has an RSS feed on it, Safari will automatically recognize it. Shows a little RSS icon in the right-hand side of the navigation bar. And, well, if you click that, you basically get the same page, but in a not as good looking format. I mean, so it could be very useful if you bookmarked these RSS feeds then and treated them as regular bookmarks. Then, if you line them up in the bookmarks bar, you could see the number of unread, and then click on them to see those feeds. But the problem is, this is all sort of, it's integrated with the web browser, but not in a way that really makes sense. Now, it's hard to, I think it's hard to integrate an RSS feeder with a web browser, because the web browser is there to see the page. The RSS reader is there to just get the information. So, when you're looking at the page, and then you press the RSS icon, you're basically looking at the same thing, but without the page. It's just the text. So I think I'm going to stick with NetNewsWire and iPodder X right now as my podcast and RSS feeder readers. I don't even know if Safari can... It probably doesn't support enclosures. I haven't actually tested that out yet, but even if it did, I don't really think it could download, you know, it could be any sort of a credible podcast receiving client. So I'm going to stick with, you know, iPodder X on that front, and then I really like NetNewsWire as an RSS feeder. I've actually only got the light version, but it offers some nice customization. Oh, I didn't catch it. And you know, does what an RSS reader should do. So the Safari RSS, it's, you know, nice to have the functionality in there, and there's a lot of ways it could be used, but really it's not going to make me change my default RSS reader. really lacking on the cough button here, I'm sorry. But what I did really like about Safari is the improved integration with the operating system and with iLife apps. Now, I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Basically, when you right-click items in Safari, now you're just presented with a multitude of options. If I right-click the little Google icon right now, I get a whole lot of options that weren't there before. First of all, save image or linked file to the desktop. Used to be you had to go through a series of menus to select where you wanted to download it to. Now just downloads to the desktop, nice and clean, works well. Now, the more interesting thing is there's also a... first of all, there's copy image address, which wasn't there before. It used to be you had to open the image in a new window and then copy the address from there. So copy image address is handy for, like if you're linking to an image and you just want the address. But the other option here, which I thought was very interesting, is add image to iPhoto library. So this is just a part of a whole integration to the iLife apps that really wasn't there in this way before. Now you can select any picture on the internet and add it right there to your iPhoto library. Same is true in the Finder. You can go to any image in the Finder, right-click it, and add to iPhoto library. So, and also, if you get a, you know, any other file on the internet, like a music file or similar file that would an iLife app could handle, you can add it right there to your library. So, wonderful integration there. And even though the RSS features are somewhat lacking, definitely... the improved user experience is worth the upgrade. So, moving on, iChat AV. Now, the thing that really hit me when I first looked into iChat AV, the new version anyway, is the system requirements. Because, and I'm going to load them right now, because they're very limiting. Now, if we look at these requirements, basically you need a 1 gigahertz G4 or higher, or a dual 800 megahertz G4 or higher in order to participate in these video chats that, you know, have the multi-users and the reflections on the boardroom table and that sort of thing. Now, I'm looking at the system requirements right now. For basically, if you're on a G3, you can't really do anything. You can do a one-on-one audio conference, and that's about it. Now, if you're on... you can also do a one-to-one video conference if you're a 600 megahertz or higher. Now, in order to do a four-person video conference, you have to be dual 1 gigahertz G4 or any G5, and that's to host it. To participate, you can also have just single processor 1 gigahertz G4 or the dual 800 megahertz, and of course any G5. G5s can basically do anything here, so if you've got a G5, you don't even need to listen to this. Download iChat AV right now and have fun. But if you've got a G4 or a G3, if you got a G3, well... especially if it's under 600 megahertz, which my iBook is, iChat AV really is not going to be of a whole lot of use to you. Now, if you're on a G4, if you're over 1 gigahertz, you can also do this, you can host the 10-person audio conference. Even if you're under 1 gigahertz and have a G4, you can participate in these. So this is kind of what we see the Skype functionality that we had in the current version of Skype coming into iChat. Now, I'm not sure if they based this off Skype. I'm doubting they did. It was probably just a natural feature upgrade. But Skype has recently added this sort of a conference call type thing. And this is coming into iChat, too. A lot more business-oriented, of course. If people are working in a corporate environment, they're not just going to, you know, one-on-one audio and video chats aren't going to be a whole lot of use, because if you're trying to manage a business over long distances, you're really going to need some sort of conference. So iChat AV is good for that. And as long as you've got a computer that can handle it, it really adds some great functionality. Now, some other things about iChat AV, and these are things that are available on any computer, is that now, instead of having to go to Doug's AppleScript for iTunes and downloading that iTunes currently playing track to iChat available message, little hack that allows you to display what song you're currently playing in iChat and let everyone know what you're listening to. Well, now it's built in right to your status message selection box. So when you go to choose a status message, one of the options is current iTunes track. Now, even more interesting here is that when other users see your available message, other iChat users see your available message and see that track, there's a little arrow next to it, similar to the arrows that you would find in iTunes. This means that when other users see see your currently playing track, they can click this arrow, go to the iTunes Music Store, and hear a 30-second preview of that track, and of course, buy that track, which is what Apple was probably thinking when they installed this feature. So really nice functionality here, and great integration between the iApps again. Another thing that is a real improvement for a lot of people who network with AOL Instant Messenger users, the AOL client, not necessarily the AOL web browser, but the AIM client itself. The profiles that you create in iChat are now actually compatible with AIM client users. So you can go ahead and I believe, let's see here, if you go to Buddies and change my profile, you can go ahead and create a profile that is accessible from all users all over the AIM network instead of just iChat users. So real improvement there, a functionality that I'm sure a lot of users were asking for, now brought into iChat. Now we're getting into the bugs here. Probably the biggest bug I had with Tiger to date is the problem with iChat and Bluetooth headsets. Now, originally, when I installed iChat, I had some weird stability problems. It would be crashing off and on, and you know, I basically couldn't do anything in another application without iChat freaking out and crashing. So, would you look at that? It just crashed. even though these issues are somewhat solved, I guess they're not completely solved. Now, I was chatting with Adam from the MacCast. Oh boy. I was hearing some weird audio distortion there. I don't know if you were. I was talking with Adam from the MacCast, and he suggested unpairing and repairing my Bluetooth headset. So I did that, and turns out, and I discovered this when I repaired it, that Tiger somehow doesn't support Bluetooth headsets as input and output devices. Now, this is all over the forums at the Apple support site, and apparently people are working on it. I'm not really sure what's being done, but there should be a patch out there relatively soon. But if you have a Bluetooth headset, you really don't have any more functionality to use that as your Skype headset or your iChat headset, or your headset for, you know, recording a podcast or anything like that. Basically, you can, it will work in the beginning, but when an iChat will keep crashing. But then when you mess with the configurations or, you know, mess with the pairing, well, then it's no longer going to be usable as an input and output device. So definitely a bug there, and some instability with iChat as well, that I thought was solved, but apparently is still popping up when there's really intensive CPU usage. And moving on, just two more items to go here, already at 41 minutes almost, so quite a podcast here. I didn't really mean to go this late, but I guess I could talk forever about Tiger. Really, you know, amazing operating system. The Dictionary. This is a new application, and really a handy one. Now, there were third-party dictionaries in the past, and third-party thesauruses, in the past, but this is, of course, Apple made this one, really integrated the best of anything I've seen. When you click or right-click a word in any text box anywhere in the operating system, except some applications that block it. I know Microsoft Word blocks it because it's got its own dictionary. But if you right-click any word, you get a little lookup in dictionary option. And then it will open the dictionary application and show the definition and synonyms for that word. But it gets even cooler. In the dictionary application, in the preferences, there is a little choice where you can make it, instead of launching in an application, it launches in a little, it's like a little mini palette, like a little widget almost, and it highlights the word, and then below it, it's got this little box that has the dictionary entry, and if you you can select to show the thesaurus, and then it will have the synonyms for that word. So, great if, you know, say you're typing on iChat, you don't want to go look a word up, you know, to see what it means, or to find synonyms for it, you just right-click it, everything's right there. Now, the last feature I want to talk about, and this is one that I haven't really gotten into a whole lot, but I know can be very useful, is Automator. Now, I've really only created one workflow is what it's called in Automator, and that is just a little odd job workflow that takes screenshots from Vendetta, actually, and converts them to JPEG format, renames them with the date, and puts them in a screenshot folder, in my pictures folder. It's a really handy little application for, you know, these odd tasks that you really don't want to do by hand. There are a couple problems with it. One, it's not particularly powerful. You're relying on scriptability in the first place. It's basically a front end to Apple Script, so it really can't do a whole lot that Apple Script can't do. If it just basically takes the programming aspect out of it, which, for me, I know, is really the fun part. But basically, it's a quick, user-friendly version of Apple Script automation. And it's, as I said, doesn't have a whole lot of options, but there are, you know, plenty of, especially for the Finder, plenty of little odd jobs that you can have it do, and you can put those odd jobs together, and you can have it do different things with files, and sort of, it's got this format that you set up where you start with, you know, you define like a selection or a group of files, and then you go from there. It transfers the information from that, it displays in little bubbles, transfers the information from that bubble down to the next task, and then that task takes in that information of what it's got and then does something with that. So it could have pictures, it could have music files, it could have Word documents, and you can hand these files sort of down the list of actions and have, you know, have them renamed, have them re-encoded, have them zipped, you know, things like that. So a handy little app. and something that I definitely experiment with more and maybe post some of my workflow documents, my little, you know, odd job doers. And there's actually workflows available for download on the Apple website. Same place as dashboard, apple.com. Click on macOS 10 and downloads, and then you'll be right there. You've got dashboard widgets. You've got Spotlight plugins to search within different applications that create plugins for Spotlight. And then you've got Automator Actions. So all in all, wonderful upgrade, wonderful new operating system. Definitely worth it to upgrade. It's not just an incremental upgrade at all. Adds so much more functionality, so much more fun. Wonderful, wonderful job, Apple. So, that is the podcast. Got some outro music here. Sinister Utopia, The Hunt. And this sounds like a movie soundtrack. You can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can vote for the Everything Digital Podcast on Podcast Alley at either podcastalley.com or everythingdigital.org on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital Podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can email me, Alan, at everythingdigital.org. You can Skype me, that is Everything Digital. You can AOL Instant Messenger IM me. My screen name is Podcaster. Or you can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. I am out of here. It's already way too late, 47 and a half minutes, and 9:53 p.m. here on the West Coast. Got to get this thing uploaded and then get some sleep. So thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.